Good morning to everyone. Amen. I thank God for this opportunity to speak a word to you on this morning. Amen. We thank Post Check for the information and breaking it down into layman terms where we can understand it. Turn to Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 6 through 15, and I'm reading from the King James Version. When you have it, can you acknowledge by saying amen? It should be also on the board for you. I'm reading from the King James Version. I begin reading verse 4. Hear, O our God, for we are despised and turn their reproach upon their own head. Give them for a prey in the land of captivity, and cover not their iniquity, and let not their sins be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together until they have thereof. For the people had a mind to work, but it came to pass that when Sambalat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdites had heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burden is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. And our adversary said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them and slay them, and cause the work to cease. And it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, from all places whence we shall return unto us, they will be upon you. Therefore set I in the lower places behind the wall, and on the higher places I even set the people after their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and rose up and said unto the noble, and to the rulers, and to the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. And it came to pass, when our enemies heard it, it was known unto us, and God had brought their counsel to naught, that we return, all of us, to the wall, every one unto his work. May God bless the readers, hearers, and doers of his word. I still want to speak on discouragement. Discouragement seems to take a toll on a lot of us. and discouragement is universal. No one is exempt from it. Whether you're rich or you're poor, y'all see a lot of rich people kill themselves. Man, so if you think money is going to bring you happiness, I got another thing for you. You got rich people committing suicide. Amen. And they can pay their bills. Amen. Amen. I'm just saying. So discouragement is universal. Whether you're a Christian or you're a non-believer, discouragement happens. Your believers have to deal with discouragement. While we may get discouraged from time to time, we should never allow discouragement to get a hold of us. There's a difference between you having discouragement and discouragement having you. Okay? So when you are discouraged, you are still in control. Okay? But when discouragement has you, it's in control. So we must never allow discouragement to get a hold of our lives. We must recognize it for what it is and deal with it through God's word and God's help under the leadership of the Holy Ghost. So we all get discouraged at some point in time. If you are a person sitting here and say, well, I never got discouraged, I'll just keep living. Amen? You will be. Amen? I mean, that's old folk talk there. They say, just keep on living. Amen. Discouragement can be contagious. If you are around someone who is discouraged, they can discourage you. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Y'all don't know. Y'all don't like to deal with folks there. I'm like, that's so-and-so. I don't feel like being bothered with them today. You want to know why you don't feel like being bothered with them? Because they have a spirit on them that will pull your spirit down. So let's just be real. You can free yourself this morning by saying that pastor show is right. I don't feel like fooling with them this morning because they're going to bring my spirits down. And so I'm just going to just let the phone call go to my secretary. It's called voicemail. And so if you entertain that individual and you are not built up yourself, it will be contagious. Because then all of a sudden you will feel like they feel. Amen. God bless her, I had an aunt, you know, didn't grow up with her. She was on my father's side and very discouraged. And so I did everything I possibly can to minister to her and all kind of stuff. And then finally I had to say to her, I said, look, I did what a doctor would do. Here's some scripture. You know, a doctor would prescribe some medication and write it and say, check back with me in a couple of days or in a week. So I had to give this person some scripture and say, I need you to read this and try to encourage yourself, because the Bible says be encouraged. So I had to give her some scripture to help her build herself up, because what was happening is she kept pounding me and pounding me and pounding me, and I was like, whoa. I had to take a step back and say, I got some scriptures for you. I need you to read this. So, but if you stay around them, you need to be careful. So what do you need to do? You need to insulate yourself with God's word. So if somebody is being negative or somebody is discouraged, once you get done ministering to them, you need to go minister to yourself. Amen. You need God's word. Even though discouragement may be universal, it is curable. Because we don't have to stay there, locked into this lifestyle of discouragement. You don't have to stay there. We shouldn't allow ourselves to believe that we are beyond hope or deliverance. Okay? Don't ever get to that point where you feel like there is no hope. That's what the devil wants you to believe. There is no hope. Discouragement is losing the desire, the motivation to continue doing something that brings purpose and satisfaction to your life. Amen? Right now, we are purpose-driven for God. And the devil will come and try to bring discouragement to what we're doing. Your walk in Christ, one of the reasons why you don't see churches packed and filled, because people get discouraged. Number one, you can't put your plans before God. Amen? That's going to discourage you right there. That's like this. Let me just say this, where you can understand this. You're in your parents' house. If you're in your parents' house, put your priorities, your plans before your parents' plans. Let me see how that works for you. Amen? I promise you it won't work. Because if their plans, if what they've said is for you to, when you get out of that bed, to make it up, I promise you, whatever it is you want, you ain't gonna get it until you do what you supposed to do. You understand what I'm saying? I'm like this, is that bed made up? Is that room clean? I see dishes on the counter. I see dishes in the sink. I see the floor that needs to be swept. Those are things that you need to do. My point is, and that's like the child going to say, Mom, can I go down the street? Can I play with so-and-so? And you're looking at nothing that's done around the house. Now, let's look at this from a spiritual perspective. Y'all go to God, y'all pray to God, ask God for this and that, and God is saying, oh, what are you doing? Have you done what I've asked you to do? Many of us would say yes, but God is saying no. Y'all understand what I'm saying? We have to understand, you can't put your plans before God. You're going to get discouraged. Put God first, and all other things will be added unto you. That's why he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And everything else will be added. God knows what you need before you even ask for it. So even he knows your thoughts from afar off. I told you that last week. So even before you pray about it, that's like when my children get up in the morning, I already know what they need. What I need for them to do is listen to my voice. Y'all understand what I'm saying? I know what they need before they even get up. I'm already there. Understand? I was up before them. God sleeps nor slumbers. He's already watching the situation. I'm up before them. I already know what they need. All I need for them to do is listen to my voice, follow my command, do what they're supposed to do, and then once they do that, everything else will be added unto them. Y'all follow me? If it makes sense, I know I'm right. So, y'all remember, there was a time where people were thrilled to come to church on Sunday morning. I mean, that just be real. Now, I mean, back in the day, you know, you couldn't wait to get to church. You enjoyed church. Enjoyed church so much you had an afternoon program. You understand? Been in church pretty much all day. Amen? I mean, but I'm just saying, you enjoyed the fellowship and the worship of your brothers and sisters in Christ. It was a unity back then where you worked together for the cause of Christ. Now it's hard to get people to come to church. Many reasons why is because there's so much open on Sundays now. I remember as a child, when on Sundays, man, there was like everything was closed. You drive down the street, it was closed, closed, closed. Why? Because it was Sunday, day of rest, worship. Now stores start to see that, hey, this is a money-making opportunity. You know, I'm gonna be open and make a little profit here. You know, and so now everything starts to be open on Sundays. So what this does, it gives people options. You know, even when I played ball, you know, we didn't play on Sundays. Now there's a different generation that grew up that knew not God. Because now they have got games scheduled on Sundays. There was a known fact that this household won't be going to a Corey League field on a Sunday. We were in church worshiping. But now Coral League fields are packed dry by there. You would think, oh, is this Saturday? Is this Friday? No, it's Sunday. But years went by. People lose the motivation, the affection to attend worship service, have so much at their fingertips. You know what? You can pick up this phone and you can see the world in a matter of seconds. Everything you want right here at your fingertips. You know, we was talking one day and guess what? You know, somebody said, oh, let's see. Right here. You don't have to go to the library no more. I'm surprised they're still open. Now you have 24/7 access to anything. Anything you want, 24 access. So here is Nehemiah and them. They was on a mission to rebuild the walls around Jerusalem. The mission was a mandate by God. Let me tell you something. Anything God tells you to do, it will get done. Now you may try to delay it, but it's going to get done. And in the process, everything that you want going to be on hold. Y'all ever dealt with the software when you're trying to submit something and you don't have it entered in right? It ain't going to let you send it through? That's the way God is. If this ain't right right here, you ain't going to be able to hit that submit button because it's going to tell you there's something that ain't right here first. Fix this first, then you can submit. So until you get your blessing, you get in line with God, then you hit submit. Amen? Because it ain't going to go through. I'm going to tell you this right now. Nehemiah tells us that it was God that put it in their hearts to take this long journey to Jerusalem to rebuild the walls. And when they got there, they surveyed the city and the access and the damage and put a plan of action into motion to rebuild the walls. He rallied the people together. You got to get people to come together. You got to get people to come together. Get the people to come together to rebuild the wall and tell them what God has put in his heart to share his vision with them. When I started the ministry, gather people together so we can begin to operate as a church body and to go out and recruit and teach others about Christ. So let's just understand the causes of discouragement. Number one, if you look at verse 10, fatigue due to a loss of strength. Judah said the strength of the barriers of burden is decayed. The number one cause of discouragement is fatigue. They were just plain worn out. They had worked long and hard for the extended period of time. Their physical, emotional, and spiritual, they were exhausted. They were tired, weary, and wore down. When you're exhausted, it's hard to be spiritually on an emotional high. It's hard. It's hard to have some enthusiasm. I'm going to just say this. If you haven't eaten, it's hard to have some enthusiasm. I need to eat something first. The first thing Brother Moore do when he gets up in the morning, he gets breakfast. He ain't trying to talk to you or anything. All you going to get is he going to go to that kitchen. He ain't being disrespectful. He going to that kitchen. If you want to talk to him, follow him in that kitchen and sit down. Give him a few minutes. He'll be talking to you. But until then, my point, I'm not trying to point him out, but I'm just saying you need to understand that people cannot function unless they have some energy in them. Amen? So when does fatigue and discouragement set in? Verse 6, so we built the walls until all of it reached half its height. When you halfway, that's when fatigue and discouragement comes. Is at midpoint. Everybody gets energy when you start. I can prove it to you. When we all got this building here, we all had a lot of energy. Men were displaying their talents and everything and in the work. we were excited about this building. This is not to talk about anybody. This is just to prove a point and a message. And then all of a sudden, we got wore out. Let's just be real. We got wore out. We got tired. Doors still need to be painted. You understand what I'm saying? Haven't been painted. My point is, fatigue sets in. This is not to talk about anybody. This is only to make a point in saying you get wore out. When you're using the same people over and over again, you wear them out. You need others to say, hey, let me help you out. You know, let me pitch in. What can I do? That's how the work continues to progress. Because if you're constantly waiting on this person is, we're not in our glorified bodies. Let me just let everybody know this right now. This body is going to get tired. Amen? And it's going to want to sit down. And if you are a person that work hard, listen to me. If you're a person that work hard, if you sit down for a long period of time, your eyelids going to close. Amen? My wife will tell you, I'm only good for one movie. And after that, I'm done. And she may be playing with my lips or something, but I'm going to tell you, I'm done. I'm sitting there. And then I wake up, and I'm like, oh, okay, okay. I'll be like, I see you, baby, love you. I'm getting in the bed. She's a night owl. She's staying up, just wide-eyed. This is what I said to her. She said, oh, come on, let's watch a movie. So at nighttime, she always want to watch a movie. I said, let's watch a movie 6 o'clock in the morning. She said, that don't even sound right. Yes, it do to me. I'm an early riser. And I said, let's watch it. She said, that don't even sound right. You know it. That's how she said it to me. And you know it. It does sound right. To me, watching a movie 10, 11 o'clock at night sounds right to her. I have to get up in the morning. I have to get up early. Because I have to start my day early. Needless to say, we still haven't watched that movie at 6 in the morning. But I have watched the movie 10 o'clock and late 11 o'clock at night. Just so there is no balance there, y'all. Everybody has energy when you get started. New project, new problem, new solution. But after a while, newness, everything starts to wear off. You get bored, tired, discouragement sets in. So when does the newness wear off? Again, halfway. When you get that car, you're excited. Got a new car, just driving around, burning up gas. Got a new car, want everybody to see you, right? New car. You know, that's something you're proud of, worked hard for. And all of a sudden, when does that newness wear off? When you're halfway through the payment. You know what I'm saying? When you first get it, don't shut that door that hard. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Say something to me. Talk back to me, church. Don't shut that door. Don't shut that door that hard. New car. When you're halfway through it's almost paid off, kids slam the door. Bam! You ain't saying nothing to them no more. Y'all ain't gonna do my new car like that no more. See, now we on a new one. This one is old now. Now you on a new one. So we get to the point where when we halfway finished with a project, this is why you see a lot of projects at home is not done. Because I'm not gonna say we forgot about it. I'm just gonna say we just get fatigued and tired. You don't wanna do it. This is why it's important for us to get our rest. We need to check our energy level, both spiritually, physically, and emotionally. We need that relaxation. This is even why the Lord even rested. Not that he needed to rest, but he rested. Amen? Basically, that was showing us that we need to rest. A lot of times, frustration due to the loss of vision. And when the people start seeing the rubble, the rubbish and everything, sometimes when you got so much mess going on in your life, and you got all this stuff clouding you, you ain't going to be able to see the vision. You're not going to be able to see what God is trying to do, because, see, the people was getting discouraged because they saw all the rubbish. A lot of times you got to get the rubbish out the way. You got to, when you move that out the way, now you can see a lot better. Because let me tell you something. Before you all came, we had so much wood laying around here. I mean, it was so much stuff. Nobody could see this like you all seeing this now. All they saw was a hole in the middle of the floor with a bunch of wood on the side. Folks didn't see that. They couldn't see no church. All they continued to see was a swimming pool. And people were like, I don't know about this, Pastor. This is a lot of work. Yeah, it's a lot of work, but we can do this. Then we had one person to come in, wanted them to, I'll never forget this. This is, y'all just pray for me. This person came in, and we wanted them to lay the carpet. This person, now we had this open floor here. We had the pool, right? So the pool wasn't covered yet. So we was trying to get an estimate of how much it would cost for us to lay carpet in here. This guy says to us, y'all know you got to cover the pool before you put a carpet. I was done. That ain't what I asked you, man. This guy said, let me repeat this. Y'all pray for me. Y'all pray for me. Can y'all do that? He said, you know, before you put carpet, you gotta cover the pool first. Lord, help me today. We didn't know that. I'm glad the Lord sent him to tell us that. Dude, this is what we are here. Never mind. Thank you for your time. Bye-bye now. Y'all think I'm playing. Am I telling the truth? Am I telling the truth? Say it so they can hear it, because they don't believe me. Bible said get a witness. Can I get another witness? I don't know if he's still in business now today, but I know he said it. We never did get an estimate, just want you to know. But we did get the carpet laid. We covered the pool first. Y'all, it's covered. That's carpet on top of what's covered. Never thought I'd say, don't ask that guy to do nothing. But see, here's the thing. What happens is, when we start looking at the rubbish, the people of the land, wanted God's people to take their eyes off of God's vision and start looking at the mess. Okay? So the devil tries to break us. If you're a person that worships God, the devil wants to break that routine. He doesn't want you to continue to worship God. That's what he tried to do with Job. The devil tried to break him. And that's why God said, have you considered my servant Job? See, God knew what was inside of Job. So God knows what's inside of you. And when God gives the devil permission to come after you, don't think that God is going to get disappointed. Amen? Because God knows how much you can bear. Now, you may get frustrated. There is no one in the Bible that didn't. But let me tell you, they stood the test. And God got the glory. But doesn't mean that they didn't get frustrated. They didn't get discouraged. But they are still were able to hang around to see the glory of God. Amen? That's the blessing part about it. But see, the enemy, he wants to break you. stop your work and your service for God. He wants you to do away with worshiping God. He don't want you to shout anymore. He wants you to leave your shout at home. Amen. He don't want you to come to church, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. He don't want you to come with your praise on. He wants you to stay at home with that. He don't want you to be coming here and extending and we go into overtime. Amen? Devil don't want us to have overtime here. We become frustrated when we lose sight on our purpose and our goal. When we start looking around and all we see is the rubbish and the debris, then we lose sight on what's most important in our lives, and that is the vision that God has given us. So we have to understand this. How many of you have the kind of job where your work is never finished? I work that kind of job. Constantly. Never finish. When you get done, guess what? Something else is coming. It doesn't bother me because if I don't have any work to do at work, then I'm unemployed. Amen? Be thankful for the work that you have. So if you never finish, be thankful for God continue to send work. Because if God continues to send work, that means you'll continue to get a paycheck. When you stop getting work, that means you ain't getting no check. So be careful when you get upset on your job talking about all this work. There's somebody that would love to have your job and your work and your pay that you're complaining about. Amen? I remember this one lady wanted a job and she didn't have a job. So she came to me and I was going to hire her. And she said, how much does it pay? I told her how much it paid. She said, well, I made more than that on my last job, but my point is, are you working now? Are you work? You made that on your last job. You unemployed, right? Because that's why you're here. What you making now? You ain't making anything. This is more than what you're making now. Don't come to me and say something like that. I'm trying to help you out. I'm like Hustle Man. I'm trying to help you out. You the one that need help. This lady had the nerve to say to me, I made more than that on my last job. You're not working now. So right now it's more than you're making. At least it's putting some money in your pocket. And if you go and get another job, hey, I'm cool with that. These young people don't stay in jobs long, no way. When they go on break, they may not come back. Am I in the spirit? Oh, I know I'm in the spirit. When they go on break, they may not come back. You're looking like, hey, did so-and-so clock out? I ain't seen them. You have to get an old school person that'll stay there and endure all that foolishness on the job because they know that the race is not given to the swift. It's given to the strong, those who can endure to the end. Folks leaving job, resume, just getting out of diapers, and the resume is about this long. 15 pages deep. Ain't nobody gonna look at that. That's a waste of their time. The fear, here's another thing. Winners see failure only as a temporary setback. It's just a setback. When Ozzie Smith was asked, when they were on the losing streak, he said, man, we done lost this many in a row. He said, we just that close to winning. That's the attitude that you have to have. When you're losing, you have to say, we're close to winning a game. Winners see failure only as a temporary setback. Sometimes, y'all, it's how you look at this situation. Are you going to look at it through God's eyes, or are you going to look at it through yours? If you look at it through yours, I can see where you are saying that you ain't going to win it. I can see where you are coming up short. But if you look at it through God's eyes, God will give you another vision. God will let you see some chapters ahead and let you see where you can be if you stay in the Lord. Because see, through Christ, He come to strengthen you. So the background of this story. Sometimes the enemy want to hinder your progress. They didn't want this wall built. The enemy don't want you to come to church every Sunday. The enemy wants you to have some me time. Amen? Enemy wants you to have some time to yourself. Hey, just take a PTO day. You ain't got to go to church. Take a day off. Sit back, relax. Forget somebody may need you to encourage them today. Forget that that person is going through. Forget that that person is down. And now, when I'm all this that I'm saying, imagine this is you that needs somebody to give you a pick-me-up. Amen? So imagine you need a word. You need a deliverance. You need somebody to speak God's word that will penetrate into your soul, that will give you a high, that will make you feel like you can conquer anything. But somebody decided that they wanted to stay home today, take a PTO day. Thank God, God doesn't take PTOs. Thank God that he don't put in, hey, I tell y'all what, angelical choir, and you know, all you angelic hosts, I need some time. I've been dealing with this world for a long time, and I need me some time to myself. I can't even take my son out. I can't even spend time with the Holy Ghost and my son because I'm dealing with all this foolishness, this chaos down here in the world. Let me take some time. I'll let y'all know when I'm coming back. But in the meantime, I'm not taking any calls. What if God did that to us? What if he actually said that to us? I could not imagine my daughter not being able to get a hold of her mama. It would drive her crazy. I mean, she come to me. I'm like, you was just with her, Sabrina. Why are you asking me where she is? Last time I checked, we cut the umbilical cord. But you couldn't tell? I mean, she's always of God. Where, Dad, where's mom? I should be asking you. God forbid if she can't get a hold of her mother. She go crazy. My point is, God doesn't do that to us. So why do we do it to him? Let me tell you something. When you stop listening to God, then we will start listening to our adversary. You can pick that up in verse 11. You'll start listening to the devil. Because the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. On the other hand, fear comes as a result of listening to the wrong voice, the voice of the adversary. Let me tell you something. If you're not listening to God, then you listen to the devil. It's just that simple. And I don't hate to say it. I'm just being real with y'all. You need to understand that we have a desire within our own self that we want to do. And if we dwell on it long enough, we'll think it's God telling us. It ain't God telling you to do that. That is you telling yourself to do that. And a lot of times we give the devil credit for stuff that he ain't even say. Devil, like, I ain't say that. I guarantee you the devil runs to half the stuff these people saying, I ain't say it. But the devil's probably saying, if it's going to take you off God's word, then I'll go ahead and take credit for it. Most of the stuff is, my grandfather said, we are our own self enemy. You are your worst enemy. Someone said it, I like this one. The enemy is within me, is inside of you. So the people had lost their sense of security because of the constant threat of danger. The enemy said they would not know or see until we come among them, kill them, and put a stop to the work. And verse 12 basically says that they will come from all sides The workers were allowing what others said to produce fear in their hearts. This coronavirus, if you're a child of God, you should not be concerned. I'm not saying don't take precaution. That is not what I'm saying. I'm saying that ain't what you should be concerned about. God is going to allow this to run this course, and God is going to put a stop to it. I'm just being real with y'all. This doesn't mean, well, the pastor said we shouldn't be concerned. That ain't how I'm saying this. I'm saying this, why are we focusing so much on this? God knows that the coronavirus is out there. He knows what it's doing. It's running its course. It's doing what it's going to do. God knows that people are out there sinning. He's letting it run its course. When he gets tired, he will put a stop to it. Whatever is going to come out of this, it's going to come out of this. First of all, before the coronavirus even came, don't y'all know God already knew about this? Understand what I'm saying. God already knew about this. It's called foreseeing, foreknowledge, all-knowing, all-powerful. He knows all about this stuff. Before my children can even see something, I'm already thinking ahead of them. Y'all follow what I'm saying? We on the parking lot, and we coming out of the store, I'm already looking in all directions before they can even start to look, because I'm looking to see what car is coming, where this one is coming from, looking for see if there's danger over here or over here. I'm already thinking, and then all of a sudden, their little minds wake up, and they're like, oh, here come a car. I already got the hand. They don't have my hand. I got their hand. Y'all follow what I'm saying? I'm already in tune in what's going on around them. So it is with God. He's already in tune with what's going on around us. God knows some foolishness is getting ready to come in a few years from now that we don't even know about. But God knows it. You don't think God knew that those planes was going to go into the World Trade Tower? You don't think God knew about that? He allows things. Why God allows things to happen is how he allowed it to happen. This is what I said one Wednesday night. There were some students there in Bible study. And I said, if I had $5, okay, I got $5. And I said, if I gave this $5 to this person over here, would you be mad? One of the students said, yes. Why? Because you gave it to her. How can you give it to me? Hold up. Listen to this, y'all. Watch this. It's my money. I give it to whoever I want to give it to. You ain't got nothing to say about that. That's my money. Listen to what I said. I'm saying with attitude, that's my money. I can give my money to whoever I want to give it to, and you can't say nothing about it. And you, matter of fact, you can't do nothing about it. Now, let me take this to God's perspective. God can choose to do whatever he want to do and however he want to do it. He created this universe. Understand what I'm saying? So how he wants to do something is nothing that we need to be questioning him on. Y'all understand that? That's his prerogative. If that's what he want to do, he can do it. Now, some people say, well, why would God take a baby out? Now, here's the thing. Now, God could allow this baby to grow up and be a villain. And this baby could, now as an adult, kill a lot of people. God, foreseeing that, could say, hey, I'm going to put a stop to this. Take the baby at a young age. Listen to what I'm saying. Now this baby's in heaven. While you sitting there whining and complaining about this baby dying at a young age, this baby's in heaven rejoicing. Y'all follow? See, y'all don't look at things the way God look at things. We look at things the way we want to see things, and every time we look at something, it's in a selfish manner. It's always selfish. But when God looks at something, God looks at something that's going to benefit everybody, whether you like it or not. I'm trying to get through this, y'all. I'm trying to get through. So here it is. They are at this wall, and God has mandated this wall to be built. God's saying, hey, I want this wall done. I'm having flashbacks when my parents used to go to work and we were at home. They said, this house better be clean by the time we get home. Now, what time you clean it, it doesn't matter, but it better be clean when you get home. If you can get it done in an hour or 15 minutes before they get home, then that's on you. But my point is, it better be clean by the time they get home. That was the marching order. Now, if that house wasn't clean when they got home, then there's a problem. Because what they said, it didn't happen. But when God says something, it's going to happen. So the people had to get together, come together, and build this wall. And in that, they face opposition. The enemy trying to prevent them from doing God's work. Listen to this. Anytime the enemy comes against you and you're doing God's work, here's what I'm going to tell you. Keep doing God's work. Because God is going to take care of your enemy that is coming against you. Okay? So you need to understand that God will take care of you and he will fight your battles. Amen? So you don't have to worry about that. So what we need to do once we get discouraged and you start feeling fatigued, you know, we need to allow ourselves rest. Rest is one of the things. I know today is a bad day to be saying it because we sprung forward. People are like, I wish the pastor hurry up so we can go home and get some rest. We need to understand that sometimes you need to take some time off and relax. Many times we work, 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 and we don't take time off to relax. One thing I can tell you about, you know, my marriage with my wife, she loves to take time off to relax. What I mean by that is she loves to vacation. I was the opposite of that when I was single. All I did was work, 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 work. But with her, she breaks up my work routine and she makes us take time off to spend time with each other and also to basically relax. And then when I do go out of town, I be wanting to stay in the hotel and not go anywhere. Where she's an adventurer. She likes to be out there. Me, I'm like this. Hey, I ain't got no grass to cut. I ain't got anything to do in the yard. I ain't got this to do downstairs or anything like that. So I'm like this. I'm chilling. But to her, you ain't finna stay up in this hotel. We going somewhere. She'll be dragging me out of there. My point is, I was relaxing. I thought we was on vacation, right? Isn't that what that was? Am I right? Is there any men with me? Can I get a grunt? I only one brave soul. The other one put his head down. Hey, fixing. I don't know what he fixing down there. He put his head down, though. He looking at his Bible or something. We in Nehemiah chapter 4. Just in case you flipped a couple of pages over. That's okay. I ain't trying to mess on nobody's home. Nehemiah, as I get ready to finish this, Nehemiah unified the people. You got to have somebody that's going to bring everybody together for the cause of Christ. We're not here together because of Republican Party. We're not here because of Democrat Party. We're here because our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's why we're here. If we were here for anything other than that, we'll be divided. Amen? So we are together, unified, because we come in the name of Jesus. This is who we worship. Amen? No other gods. Only one God. True and living God. Nehemiah unified the people, brought them together. And you have to have a message when you bring the people together. He let the people know, be not afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible. Remember what God has done. Okay? Sometimes you have to understand when things happen in your life, you have to come to this understanding of what God did for you and what God is doing for you. And when you come to that conclusion, You can remember the things that God has done, and now when the enemies come against you, you can say, hey, God dealt with my enemies the last time. God will do the same, because he's a God that changes not. Amen? So if you're feeling discouraged this morning about anything that you're going through, whether you've been in a divorce, whether you're about to get a pink slip on your job, whether the boyfriend just ain't doing what he's supposed to be doing, or he ain't acting right, or whether you just having some aches and pains in your body, just know that don't be discouraged. Be encouraged through the Lord. Because when you get done worrying about all that stuff, ain't nothing you can do about it. Amen? You can't change nothing. The only person that can do anything about anything that you're going through is God. All you're going to do is make the situation worse. You're going to contaminate it. Every time man put his hands on anything, he has made it worse. But if he was under the anointing of God and he put his hands on him, it wasn't his hands. It was the anointing of God that did it. So y'all better understand what I'm saying this morning. Whatever it is that is troubling you, I dare you to put it in God's hands. I dare you to take it to the altar and give it to God and leave it there. And say, and when somebody bring it up again and say, well, I left that at the altar. If you want it, you gonna pick it up. I'm done with it. That's the way you got to do this. You can't continue to let people bring that stuff up in your face. You tell them, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't deal with that no more. I left that at the altar. God's got it. You can talk to God about it. But I moved on from that. I remember my brother said he buried it. And you know, when you bury something, it has an expiration date on it. That means you buried it and it's done. Move on from it. Why do we try to resurrect something that's dead? You understand what I'm saying? If that marriage is dead, don't resurrect it. Why are we trying to resuscitate this thing? If this sickness is dead, why are you trying to speak it back up? Y'all heard that old saying? Listen to this. Y'all heard that old saying? I done talked that person up. I should have kept my mouth shut. Y'all better be careful. Don't be talking stuff up. Amen? If you want to talk something up, talk the Holy Spirit up. Say, I need the Holy Ghost power. I need a move of God's Spirit, and watch it show up. If you want to talk something up, talk that up. We talk negative stuff up. And then y'all know y'all done this before. I know y'all Christians today. But y'all know y'all done this before. Y'all seen people come and say, there, here come the devil. Y'all know y'all done that. Y'all know y'all done that. Y'all know y'all said that before. That's what happens. See, when you got the Holy Spirit and you just bold and you just say it, you ain't trying to please nobody. you just say it. Remember the goodness of God. Remember the presence of God is with you. God said he would never leave you nor forsake you. Remember his promise for the future. God will give us power. God will give us rest beyond. Man, don't give into discouragement. Matter of fact, let me say this. Don't give into discouragement without a fight. Don't just roll over and play dead. Resist the discouragement. Remember why you're in this. Amen? Remember why you're in your family. Remember your purpose. Remember what you're here for. Keep people focused. You know, when I'm dealing with people on the job And I'm talking to these providers and these doctors and everything. They get a little hostile with you. And I'm not intimidated by that. Yeah, but I try to get them to remember the purpose of us being here. Because I let them know, you keep talking to me foolishly, I'm going to walk out of here. And you have to start all over again. And I got permission from my job that you ain't got to take that mess off of anybody. So my point is, let's remember, I try to remind them, let's remember our purpose of why we are here. We're here to get a job done. And if you want to come at me like that, I told them, I'll come back at you like that too. I said, but where is that going to get us? It ain't going to get you nowhere. I said, so let us come together and let us try to figure out what the issue is. This is what we need to do in the body of Christ. I'm not your enemy. If I'm preaching a message that's not favorable, not desirable to you, let me say this, straighten up and fly right. That's all you got to do. Because I'm going to tell you, before I came up here into the pulpit, the word of God hit me. And the word of God is a word of correction. If you ain't living right, it's going to correct you. And if you want to stay living that way, it's still going to get you in line with God's word. But my point is, what I'm saying to you, don't get mad at me. I'm not your enemy. The devil is the enemy. That's the one who's against God. I'm just a messenger preaching God's word to God's people that need to hear a spoken word, a rhema word, amen, a right now word, I mean, an in the meantime word. He's an on time God. He's an in time God. He's an all around God. You can't shake him. You can't go around him. You can't go over him, underneath him. He is God. He's bigger than your problem. You need to understand that whatever it is that you're dealing with this morning, whatever it is that you came burdened down with, God has a solution for your problem. But you got to bring it to him. You know, when I need something done, I have to, you know, I call my uncle and I say, Uncle, I need this. I need some help with this. And you know, he has what I need. But if I don't call him and talk to him, because I was trying to put this goal up, I said, I got this pole that's sticking out, man. I need to get this cut off. And he said, ah, I got what you need. But if I didn't call him, I would have never experienced the blessing of getting it cut off. If you don't call on God, you will never experience the blessing of receiving your blessing. Let God do what he do. Amen? You continue to worship God. The enemy is going to come. The enemy is going to mock you. The enemy is going to say everything about you. But guess what? As long as God is still sitting on the throne, everything is going to be all right. Amen. At this time, we're going to extend an invitation to Christ. The doors of the church is open. Doors of the church is open. We're extending an invitation to Christ. Whosoever will, let them come. Amen. Come. Amen. Let us all stand. Let us all stand. Lift your hands. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever.